And so as we consider boundaries tonight, what is the purpose of a boundary? To keep people in, okay? Or it could be keep people out. What else? What else would be a purpose, or what is a boundary? To separate things. Good answer so far. What else? What else would be a purpose of a boundary, or what is a boundary?
To keep you from danger.
Keep you from danger. All right, such as guardrails or railings or those sorts of things. Or the Bible talks about battlements, right? Those battlements are to keep people from falling over, keep them safe. So, I guess that goes into the next part of my question, is why are they important? So, we talked about keeping people safe, keeping people from falling, to keep people, you know, again, you might want to keep the right people in and the wrong people out, okay? So, I thought about our dogs. We have a fence for our dogs, all right? It's an electronic fence. Actually, it operates off of GPS. Well, as I was thinking about that, what is the purpose? It's a boundary. It creates a boundary for them. In other words, when they know that when they get close enough to that boundary, their collar starts beep, 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 beep. And when they hear that beep, it means they better stop. Why? Because there's a consequence that comes along with crossing that boundary. Just like there are boundaries that we have, right? And if we cross those boundaries, there's a consequence. And so what is the purpose of that dog fence? Well, A, it's to keep the dogs in. But also, it keeps the dogs from going out and chasing cars along the road. Keeps our dog from chasing people down the road. It keeps our dogs from wandering off into the neighbor's yard or wandering the neighborhood and then getting caught by the dog catcher. So that boundary is there for a reason. And we all have boundaries in our lives. All right? We all have boundaries in our lives. Boundaries, as I was thinking about this, there are boundaries all over the place in our lives. I want you to consider these. These are just a few things that I found. If you look clear over at the left, some of us are in school. Some of us, you probably have something posted in your classroom. These are the classroom rules. If you want to be part of this classroom, you all need to abide by these rules of the classroom. Otherwise, if you cross that boundary, what happens? You probably get a detention. You get sent to the office. There's some sort of consequence. Maybe you get a demerit or whatever they want to call it. So there's a consequence for crossing those boundaries. And I think about driving down the road. Those of you that drive, there's boundaries on the road. There are lines on the road. If you go over the white lines and you go too far, what happens? You run off the road. You go in the ditch. You hit mailboxes. Hit a few mailboxes in my time. But anyway, and trash cans and those sorts of things. But if you cross that yellow line in the center, what could potentially happen? Yeah, you run into somebody else going the other direction. So those boundaries are there for a reason. Think about the earth. There's a picture of the earth right there. God has a boundary. The ocean can only go so far. Now, there are occasions, such as hurricanes and tidal waves and tsunamis and those sorts of things, that they cross that boundary. But when they cross that boundary, what happens? Destruction. There's a lot of devastation. But as a general rule, God set those boundaries, and the ocean doesn't cross those boundaries. Think about about up there in the top right-hand corner? Those are the Ten Commandments. Again, those are the foundation for the laws that we have here in the United States. These are things that every one of us as Christians should be doing, and that should be the bare minimum. But again, these rules or these commandments were things that God put into place really for, what do you want to say, the betterment or for society to work the way it's supposed to work. Such as, if I cross the boundary of thou shalt not steal, let's say I go into Walmart and I decide to go in there. Now, I like that, but I don't have enough money to pay for it, but I'm going to take it anyway. I've just crossed a boundary, right? So what happens when I cross that boundary? You're going to hear beep, 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 and then all of a sudden you're going to probably have somebody say, hey, you need to come with me. All right? And generally what's going to happen is you're probably going to end up down at the police station. Okay? Unless you find yourself. And then that's when mom takes the child back and says, here, you need to go tell the cashier or whatever or whoever that you took this. All right? Have to do that with at least one. But anyway, I think about, you know, we have right here the U.S. Constitution. All right? The U.S. Constitution, what is that? That's a basic framework for American society to abide by. Our rights, the rights that we have as a people, but it is still a boundary. All right? And we break those boundaries or we cross those boundaries, then society doesn't work the way it's supposed to. Think about sports. We've got a picture of a football field up here on the board. Where is that game meant to be played?
Within those boundaries.
Within those boundaries. And if the game's played outside the boundaries, it's either a penalty or it doesn't count. All right? It does not count. But also, on the other hand, remember as we said earlier, it's meant to keep some people out. So in other words, if you have people on the sidelines or people on the stands that cross that boundary and come onto the field, there's consequences for that, right? At the very least, you get tackled by a big, burly football player. All right? And then, think about the workplace or, you know, every place that you go. Again, our society is structured where we have boundaries. We have what you call a code of ethics. You have moral principles that are boundaries for us to live within. Otherwise, what would society or what would the workplace be like without those principles? It would be chaos, right? It would be chaos. And so our life, whether we realize it or not, is structured by boundaries. Structured by boundaries. And so as we consider boundaries, all right, I want to kind of maybe shift a little bit here. And I think about ancient boundaries. And these boundaries are to mark out property. Over here on the left, you see a stone wall. It's marking the boundary of two people's property. You see one here in the middle. It's marking the corner of someone's property. Over here on the right, that is actually from Gettysburg, but it's also marking a boundary. All right, it's marking a boundary. And so when we think about these boundary markings, all right, our life is governed by boundaries. And we'll talk about this in a little bit. Thinking about modern boundary markings. Generally, on the corners of people's property, you'll have these pins that are actually driven into the ground. People come out and survey. They'll mark these things out by GPS. That's how these maps are generated here by GPS. But to mark those boundaries, every one of these points right here are marked by one of these pins. And so those are modern boundary markings. They can go find those boundaries, or they can find those pins, all right, to mark out people's boundary. I thought about my brother. Bought a place, and he was doing some work along the property line, and the neighbor comes out and says, "You're on my property." My brother says, "No, I don't think so." And so she went and got a surveyor, came out and had her property surveyed. Guess what? That wasn't her property at all.
Right.
Actually, she had less property than what she thought she had. And so, as we think about these boundaries, all right, these are examples of how people mark their boundaries and how these boundaries are marked now. But why would people want to mark boundaries for their property? Why would we have these boundary markings? Go ahead and speak up, Brother CJ. Go ahead and speak up.
It's in the range of if I'm able to shoot them or not.
Well, that's true. Now, that might be the last resort. You understand what I'm saying? That might be something that being, you know. I mean, true.
Save it for
true. But what should those boundaries tell people? Okay, but also, this belongs to me. Right? This plot of land belongs to me. And everything in that border or within that boundary belongs to me. The house belongs to me. The barn belongs to me. The trash pile, if I've got a trash pile out there, it belongs to me. Okay? Out there where we live, there's a lot of trash piles, and it belongs to them. All right? But the point being is that boundary tells people that this is mine. It belongs to me. And we have some people today that seem to have the idea that I'm just going to go into this person's place. And I'm going to live in this person's place. I'm not going to pay a dime. They're called squatters. All right? And a lot of people in today's society feel like that, hey, I'm entitled to go and move into this person's house whether I have their permission or not. But they're crossing boundaries. It does not belong to them. And so again, boundaries tell people that this belongs to them or to a particular person. And that within those boundaries belong to that particular person. Okay? Now, as we think about this tonight, and I want to go back. I forgot to read this when I first got started. But I want you to consider something here. Psalm 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven, standing firm and unchangeable." So as we think about this bound in our little study tonight about boundaries, what is contained in this Bible right here will remain unchanged. Just as we talked about in our Revelation study, just as we talked about, there are people in religion. Remember when what do you want to say, the mountain fell into the sea, and up out of that came wicked teachings and things from wicked minds, teachings that were false, and people are wanting to move the boundaries that God has established. Those boundaries here in the Word of God, those principles here in the Word of God, young people, remember this. What, I don't care what year it is. I don't care if it's 100 years down the road, 200 years down the road. And if the Lord tarries and this world is in existence, God's word will remain unchanged. Whether it is the philosophies of people, whether it is the minds of people, whatever it might be, they go change their mind, does not change the word of God. And we're living in a society today. You know, we talked about, and we talk about this often, well, you have your truth, I have my truth. No, right here is the truth. And this is the truth that we need to live by. This is the boundary that God wants us to live within. But people want to take and stretch those boundaries or cross those boundaries or live without outside those boundaries. But what does the psalmist say here? Your word is settled in heaven. So in other words, the question settled. God's mind is not going to change. God's word is not going to change. And so, again, as I was considering this tonight, or this afternoon, I want you to consider this. Proverbs 22:28, and this is how they amplified. And what does it say here? Do not move the ancient landmark at the boundary of the properties which your fathers have set. And so we could say here, do not move the ancient landmark that your God has set. God has set boundaries, young people. And we have to realize that if we are to live for God, if we're to make heaven our home, we've got to live within those boundaries. As I was considering this, it says, know ye that the Lord is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people in the sheep of his pasture. Who do we belong to tonight? We belong to God. We belong to God. And we need to live within those boundaries that God has set for us. And so tonight, I've got some markers up here on the podium. In that white rectangle right there, what are some of the boundaries that God wants us to live by or live within? What things within that boundary has God set up for us as young people? I want you to run up there and I want you to write those things inside that white rectangle. Don't everybody jump at once. Look at that. Brother Miller is going to jump right up there right now. What would that be? Well, I tell you what, there are a lot of people that are getting ideas that more than one wife is acceptable. So modesty, being holy, come on, there's more things. There's more things. Jump up there, don't be shy. So one wife, being holy, modesty. Okay, so sanctification.
Is that the same thing as holiness?
Yeah. But that's okay. Not a thing wrong with that. Come on, there's more stuff up there. Don't be shy. So purity, okay? Not only purity of mind, purity of heart, purity as far as the body is concerned. What else? Come on, help me out here. Don't make me beg. I know how long to get up there and put something up there. Don't you? There, I see. I knew you did. Come on, don't let Brother Miller outdo you folks. Okay, personal boundaries. I think we all need to have personal boundaries.
Okay. That one's not working.
Use the red
one. The red one's good? Okay.
So, obedience. Obedience could be obedience to parents, obedience to God, obedience to those that have authority over you, right? Teachers. I knew what you meant, Sister Carly.
That's a very good one, too.
It is good.
Very often, I'm facing that with a couple of people.
So telling the truth, being a witness.
Is that the right one?
Being humble. Sister Hayden, she's making it worth making the trip up there. So, being different from the world. Very good. Very good.
Person's the right one. You can't remember.
So, faithfulness. Being faithful.
This is for Carson.
Okay, so stay in the middle, away from the edge.
Yes, you're good.
Not really close to the edge.
All right, anybody else? So, I want you to consider something now. Remember, we're living in a world today that is, at the very least, stretching the boundaries, trying to move the boundaries. Now, how would you take it if somebody came on your property and says, guess what, I'm going to move this boundary. I'm going to move this boundary. I'm going to take this boundary marker, and I'm going to pick it up, and I'm going to put it right over here.
They can try. They're not
going to
pay for it, though.
We're going to cost.
And you want to pay the tax for it or fund.
There is a consequence. There is a cost for that, right? There is a cost. It could be. Absolutely. It could be destructive. But here, how do you think God takes it when his creation's going like, you know what, I don't like that boundary that God put right here. And so I'm going to take this boundary, and I'll pick it up, and I'm going to move it right over here. How do you think God takes that?
He's better than me, that's for sure. He's upset.
He doesn't.
He does what?
He doesn't.
He doesn't like it.
He doesn't take it.
And he doesn't take it. Just because that you don't see God move, somebody gets struck by lightning, or God move and consume them by fire, or whatever the case may be, doesn't mean that God doesn't notice that he likes it. So now let's talk about. We can actually take these things here, and we could, you might say, what are those things that we have within this bound, within the boundary, that now they're trying to move the boundaries or they're trying to stretch the boundaries?
Being the same as the world, you don't have to show it outwardly. You just...
Okay, so in other words, what do you want to say? Fitting in with the world?
Mm-hmm. Worldly.
So, fitting in with the world. So, that this is outside the boundary. What else?
Unholiness.
Okay, so how about just living sinful?
Yeah.
Yeah. Personal can go outside and inside.
Do what?
Personal can go outside and inside. They take it to a different level.
Okay. All right.
Kind of the same thing, but it's pushed.
Okay.
Disobedience.
Sister Ella?
Lying.
So now that instead of telling the truth, we're lying. All right. Brother Isaac?
Disobedience.
So now we've got people, we're living in a generation. And I know you go to school each and every day and you see students. I had one student the other day and my classroom rule is when you come in there, I got this nice big case, you drop your phone in the designated slot in the case. Sister Elise, she probably has to do that too, right? And you probably don't like it, but you do it, right? But it's probably one of those rules that are very inconvenient.
Drake doesn't like it.
You don't like it, Drake?
No.
Oh, my Drake. The Drake. Oh, that Drake. Well, you know what? He can get over it.
He doesn't like a lot of things.
Yeah, but anyway. Probably doesn't like me either. But anyway, that's okay. But I own that. So, that rule... And I have a student come in, he says, well, I left my phone out in my vehicle. I look down, and there, plain as day, right there it is in his pocket, and I'm going like,
calculator.
Sorry. I said, what's in your pocket? What pocket? I said, that pocket right there. So, I mean, he was blatantly telling me a lie. It was not on his vehicle.
Or people have like two phones.
Well, I had somebody do that to me too. He had a burner phone and his real phone. Generally, people have phones like that. They're doing some illegal activities. But anyway. One you would call your business phone and one would be your personal phone. But anyway. So where was I going?
Disobedience.
Oh, disobedience. So we're living in a world that, I mean, I had one student the other day, and I was talking about something. He says, Mr. S, he says, don't you know about half this class is homeless?
What? What?
And I'm going like, why are you homeless? Well, I get emails from parents saying, you know, they chose to leave because they didn't want to live by the rules. So they're homeless by choice, whether they're living in their car or they're living on somebody's couch, on a buddy's couch, or whatever the case may be. We're living in a disobedient generation. They don't want to submit to authority. They don't want to submit to their parents. They don't want to submit to the authority of God. We're living in a disobedient generation. God's people should be obedient people. We should be the most obedient people in the world. God's people should be obedient people. So, disobedience. So, disobedience. Sister Aiden.
Adultery.
Okay. All right.
Two wives.
Yeah.
Two wives.
So, and how about so people are living impure, immoral lives. All right? Like we said before, we're living, young people, in a hookup culture. All right? People, they just go, okay, well, you know, I don't want any relationship or anything, but just whatever. That's our society today. All right? No committed relationships, nothing like that. Living within the boundaries that God has established. You know, young people, God's got a beautiful way. A beautiful way, what do you want to say? A young man and a young woman, all right, should conduct themselves, all right, before and after marriage. He's got a beautiful plan laid out. But what does our society want to do? Our society wants to take and it wants to just, what do you want to say, totally wreck that plan. Totally wreck that plan. Make mockery of that plan. And I don't regret. I don't regret. All right? My wife and I, we did our best to live in such a way that was pure before God. And I don't regret that day. I don't regret that moment. All right? God's got a beautiful, beautiful plan. But we've got a lot of people, all right, that have a lot of regrets because they didn't follow that plan. Sister Elise.
Pride.
See, you say pride? So, we do. We live in it. And again, you know what? There's nothing wrong with pride. I think, you know, I tell my students, you need to take pride in your work. You need to take pride in a job well done. You know, and there is a good way to be proud, but a lot of people take that pride, you might say, and what do you want to say? Take it in the wrong direction, all right? And the Bible talks about that. What? Pride cometh before a fall, right? People get proud in themselves. So pride.
They have a full festival for it.
They have what?
Parade, festival.
Yes, they do. They have, yes, I agree. Sister Aiden.
Lukewarm Christianity.
Okay, so being outside the boundary could be that we live a lukewarm life. So people are saying, you know, you have your truth if I have my truth. People can make up their own truth. It's whatever the flavor of the day is. Okay? What else? Anything else, Sister Ella? So people are living immodest, right? I think I spelled that right. We do. So, we are a very rebellious generation. We have a very rebellious generation. The Bible talks about rebellion, right? rebellion, if I remember right, and that was in Samuel, I believe, and he was talking about King Saul. Rebellion is the same as witchcraft. Anything else? So we're taking prayer out of everything. So
prayerlessness.
So we have a very prayerless generation.
Now you know.
All right, we're living in a prayerless generation, Sister Hayden.
False doctrine.
Okay, so there's a lot of falseness going on. All right. A lot of falseness going on.
False truth.
So, okay, that could take in a lot right there. So let's just say that, false truth. You think, how can we have a false truth? Well, remember, as we talked about in our Revelation study, the devil has a counterfeit for everything that God has. And so he might make it look like truth, but is it real truth? Absolutely not. It's a false truth. What else? Sister Jenny.
Church hopping or church skipping?
Okay. So living outside that boundary, what? The Bible tells us, that we are to assemble ourselves together, right? But people don't see the need, or maybe some people don't see the need of staying put in one place. So, what was I going to living? How about living a froggy life?
Yeah,
frog.
Yeah.
So living froggy. All right. So, are you kind of getting the picture tonight, young people? God has boundaries. God has a boundary for us to live within. And what is that boundary? It's God's Word. It's His Word. If I remember right, John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word." I want you to think about that. In the beginning. The Word was established. It was already established in the beginning. And since the beginning, God's Word has not changed. What do you think about that? This world has changed. Things have changed. You see, civilizations have come and gone. And if the world stands, you probably see our civilization, as we know it, is probably going to go as well. But one thing that will remain, young people, since the beginning, is God's Word. God's Word, until this time world ends, God's Word will stay the same. Nothing will change. God will not change His mind. And just like society, or just like people, they change their mind. They might be standing for something one minute, and the next minute, they have changed their mind. That's not God. That's not the way God works. God, if I remember another verse saying, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, young people, if we are going to make heaven our home, we have got to live within those boundaries that God has established. Why? Because God says, just like in our verse, God's the one that formed us. He's the one that made us. We belong to Him. And just like you living at home, there are certain rules you have to abide by. There are certain boundaries. If you want to be part of that home, you have to live by. Well, God is saying that if you're going to be my child, these are the boundaries that you're going to have to live within. And God doesn't change those boundaries. And God's not going to allow anyone to take that boundary, pick it up, and move it. Even though that they're trying, that boundary does not change. And so, young people tonight, we're living in a society that is trying to move those boundaries. And it might look like that they are moving those boundaries. But if you go back to the Word, God hasn't changed His mind on that. God hasn't changed His mind on that. God, you know, it's just like God doesn't come out with a revision of the Bible every 100 years. God doesn't revise the Bible. He doesn't change anything in the Bible. The Bible stays the same. God's Word stays the same. God doesn't move those boundaries. Those boundaries remain the same. And so, Sister Carly, did you have something to say?
Yeah, we heard about foul language.
So,
stealing.
Sorry? Well, it seems like to me that, you know, again, stealing seems to be the norm too.
Yeah.
Murder.
I tell you what, as far as, you know, I don't know, I get news alerts from one of the Columbus news stations. And it seems like that there's a homicide or a killing every day in Columbus now. And it's sad. It really, really is sad. I forgot what I was going to write down. Sister Aiden.
Okay. I was going to say suicide or depression. They're normalizing this.
So, yes. It was kind of interesting. We had some breakout sessions during our local competition day on Thursday. And students were able to choose some of the breakout sessions they wanted to go to. And it was really interesting to me just to go over those forms that the students had and how many of them actually signed up for mental health sessions. What does that tell us today? We've got a lot of troubled minds. We've got a lot of people dealing with things, dealing with some very, very heavy, weighty issues. Why? It's a product of our society today. And I was listening to something, I forget what it was now, but you know, it's just amazing to me that if we would just be able to take these things, and again, I know that there are some people that have suffered some very, very, very horrible, horrible things. But I certainly believe that our society today, we're dealing with anxiety, we're dealing with a lot of things. Why? As a result of, what do you want to say, generations in the past. Maybe our generation or the generation before you, some of the things that they've allowed to happen, turning their backs on God, doing those things that we have a society we have today. Why? Because they've been moving the boundaries or trying to move the boundaries or thinking that they're moving the boundaries. And so, young people, if we want to make heaven our home, and if we want to be successful in this life, in the life of a Christian, we've got to live within those boundaries. Just like we saw, we put that picture of a football field up on there. And if a football team is going to be successful, all right, they can't play outside the boundaries. They've got to play within the boundaries. Because if you play outside the boundaries, none of that counts. None of that counts. It's what happens in between those lines that count. And so just like the boundaries that God has set for us, we go outside those boundaries, we have some very, very heavy consequences that we're going to pay. However, if we stay within those boundaries that God has created, all those things count. What does it count? It counts toward us making heaven our home. Living a life that God would be pleased with. You know, I think as a father, you know, when our children were growing up, it made nothing could make me more happy then are children doing those things that they were supposed to be doing and living within those boundaries that their mother and I set? Did they still have their problems even living within those boundaries? Absolutely. But with God's help and living within those boundaries, they became better people for it. They became better people for it. And so when the tough times come, when situations come that you feel like that you can't handle, there's nothing outside those boundaries. There's nothing. You might think, oh, if I just go outside those boundaries, everything will be okay. No, it won't be. Stay within the boundaries. Look to God for your help. Look to God for your help. And live within those boundaries that God has set up for us. And if we do, we won't have any regrets. We won't have any regrets. You think about people that have given up living inside those boundaries and went outside those boundaries. They've got regrets. They've got things that they've got to deal with the rest of their life as a result of leaving those boundaries. You stay within those boundaries. Yes, there's going to be hard times. Are there going to be trying times? Absolutely. But you live within those boundaries, young people. You live within those boundaries. You'll be able to say one thing. I have no regrets. No regrets. Does any Sister Sherry, Sister Victoria, Brother Chris, you have anything to say? Or anybody, as far as that's concerned?
I would like to add, when you're looking at the things that are within that box, it is very clear. There are boundary markers. But when you leave that, we don't see any boundaries. We don't see any lines. We don't see... So let's say you step out of God's will, of that white box. You step out of that into the areas around it. Where are you going to stop? How do you know what's too much? How do you know... And that's why that's old saying that sin will take you further than you want to go. Is because once you've stepped outside of that box, then there is no boundary. And I thought about one time I was listening to a... broadcast about raising children, and they said toddlers crave boundaries. You can't raise them and not tell them you can't do this and you can't do that. They crave it, and when they don't know where their boundaries are, it makes them, they're out of control. And I think that on this personal level, here's what you're showing right there. God has done this, so we know you can only go this far and no more. But if you step over that, you have no idea. So think about trying to draw a nice, neat rectangle around all that. It's a very strange shape, but there's actually no edges. And so the bad thing is, you might just step out of that box in disobedience, but it's not going to be very long before you're going to go a little further, and a little further, and a little further. And I see there on the outer edge, you've got murder and suicide. That's some of the, probably the worst things you could maybe get involved in.
Gray area.
Sure.
I think about Brother Shulek, he's got like a box, he's got like a space, and people want to get in that little space. They want to be like,
right,
not in the box, not out of the box.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Yep.
That gray area right there.
But that's just the first step of going outside the boundary. You know what, young people? We were taught, and this is always good advice, if you don't know what to do, stand still. Don't make any rash moves. Don't make any moves unless you get God's mind on what that move should be. And that advice that we have been given early, as far as young people were concerned, has proved to be very, very good advice concerning those types. You know, when you get into situations that you don't know what to do, stand on what you know already to be true. Stand on what you know that you know already to be true. And then you can stand on that. But if you step out there into that gray area, into no man's land, you might say, you don't have anything to stand on. You don't have a thing to stand on. And again, that's just that first step to being outside the boundary, or first step of being outside the boundary. Anybody else?
It's almost like a vacuum too. Once you get in that gray area, it's almost like it's just pulling you. It's pulling you to be outside. Like, well, I did this, and you know, I'm not dead, or you know, I got away with it, and so maybe you start rethinking everything, and it becomes a vacuum. You kind of just push that boundary a little bit more and a little bit more.
But I thought this right here was a very, very good quote. Boundaries allow us to take better care of ourselves emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually. And so I'll end on that unless somebody else has something to say. Sister Elise?
It makes me think of what Mitchell said that one time he was chairing, when like you'll be standing on top of the mountain and you'll look down and you're like, oh, that'll never be me. But then you turn around and slowly start walking.
Right.
It's like you just keep getting deeper and deeper into sin.
Absolutely. Young people, it does not matter how old we are. Whether you're 58 years old, whether you're 18 years old, whether you're 28 years old, whatever it might be, we all have boundaries to live within. None of us are exempt. None of us are exempt from that. And again, if we want to make heaven our home, and if we want to live a life that's pleasing to God, we've got to live it within those boundaries that God has established. Sister Ray.
I heard this saying, it's I don't know what you said, but it said it's easier to go down a mountain than it is to go up one. It's easier to fall into sin. It's easier to do what you want. It's easier to do what the world wants than it is to be in God's will. But in the end, what's going to be better for you? Being at the top of the hill when the flood comes, or being at the bottom?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know,
it's easier if you're on top of the mountain. You just have to stay there. You don't fall.
And you, I want you to think about this. Think about some of the highest peaks you can think of, Mount Everest. Do you think that it's all calmness up there? You probably have some of the most violent weather that you could ever imagine up on top of that mountain. You know, everybody says, well, being up on the mountaintop, that's the wonderful thing. But those mountaintops, you know, I've read some experiences, you know, like in the West, people being up in the mountains and whatever, you know, on horses, and they get into these thunderstorms. Well, guess what? You're pretty close to the lightning. You're pretty close to all that violent weather up there. So the point being is, you think, oh, well, being on top of the mountain is always a wonderful, great thing. But just be aware that you're going to experience some things up on top of that mountain. And it's going to take you being anchored. It's going to, you know, there's going to be some things that are going to try to knock you off the mountaintop. All right? And so we still have to be anchored in Jesus. We have to make sure that we're established and make sure that we are where we need to be with God. But again, I also heard, think about, it's amazing. You go, those of you that have been out to Oregon, if you went up to Mount Hood, there's a certain place, actually, where the lodge is at. What is it called? Timberline Lodge. Well, what does that mean? That's where the timber stops. That's where things stop growing. You look at the rest of the mountain, it's barren. So the point that I'm trying to get at is, you know, up on top of the mountain, nothing grows up there. But a lot of times you get down the valley, there's some of the most beautiful things that grow down in the valley. And so sometimes we gotta go through the valleys. We gotta go through the valleys. And I'm not talking about sinful things, I'm just talking about, you know, it's just like Sister Sherry told somebody the other day, you know, when we have, you know, when you're hooked up to a heart monitor and you're seeing that line go up and down, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. It's sign of a health, that's a sign that you're alive and you're healthy, right? But when you have a flat line, what's that mean? You're dead. You're gone. And so we need those ups and downs, just like in life. We need those ups and downs. Why? Because it helps us be healthy. Just think, same thing with man, you know, what do you want to say? Investing money. Can't keep going up all the time. You got to have the ups and downs in the economy. You got to have the ups and downs in investing in order to have, what do you want to say, a strong portfolio, you might say, as far as investments are concerned. So we always can't have ups. We got to have some downs too. But again, I'm not talking about sinful things. I'm just talking about you have to have those ups and downs.